Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we thank you for your goodness and for your mercy over our lives. Amen. Thank you for the entrance of your word brings light. Let that light shine in our hearts this morning. To bring the excellency of the glory of our God in the face of Jesus Christ into our lives. Blessed be your holy name. We give you all the praise and all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say,
amen.
If you are excited about the Lord and about the word of the Lord, can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have been doing the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to continue this morning. And I am in chapter 4 today, by the grace of God. And I will be speaking on a new priesthood established. So that's a new priesthood established. And I will start at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. And see if I can get through that, the rest of that chapter, and chapter 5 as well. Now there's a big portion of this message about the priesthood and so forth that will come in a subsequent chapter by the time we get to chapter 7 and all that. But today I'm going to ease on into it, and let's see what the Lord will have for us. So, starting at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Amen. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was on all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Can you say amen to that? Now, I'm going to just read through this and I'm going to come back. For every high priest that is taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, because he himself is also compassed about with infirmity? And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. So that's what all the high priests used to do. So let me take a break here and explain that. And we'll take it a little step further. Under the Old Testament, God established the Levitical priesthood. Well, Aaron and his sons and so forth like that. You can call it Aaronic, you can call it Levitical, you know, but they had a priesthood there, you know. Many of them were priests, but only one would be the high priest, you know, at a time and so forth. And we know that they had their duties that they did. As a matter of fact, you know, some of you, you know, may have read this in the Bible, that the priests, among many things that they did, they were actually like the ones that would review certain uncleanness and so forth, besides sacrifices that they did. If a man had a plague of leprosy, for instance, and so forth, they would have to come to the priest. The priest would determine by looking at his flesh. God gave all the instructions about how to do that. You know, they would determine whether they were, you know, they are ready to be, certified as being clean, or they are still unclean, and so on and so forth. So, I mean, there were a lot of things that those priests did, you know, and, you know, of course, sacrifice and all these other things, offerings and so on, that they did, you know. So we knew they did that, you know. And but I don't want to spend too much time on what the Old Testament priesthood did, because God eventually rejected that priesthood. You know, he found fault with it, so he came up with something different. Praise the Lord. So I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on that one, because, you know, that one is done for. You know, if it was perfect, there would have been no need for him to start another priesthood after the order of Melchizedek and not after the order of Aaron or Levi and so on. So he got rid of that. So I'm not going to spend too much time in the old, only for comparison. But I will bring out something about the old to emphasize, you know, something about the new. Now, so in the old, those are the things that they did. Now, in the New Testament, and that's what the book of Hebrews is going to be introducing here, you know, how that Jesus Christ started a new lineage of priests. He being the chief or high priest, you will, and everybody else being subordinate priests under him, you know, but it's a new order. It's not under the order of, you know, the old one they had under the Levitical priesthood and so forth. You know, now the things they did, you know, even the high priest back then, all the things they did and so forth, they had to offer sacrifice for sins. They had to do this every year. Blood of goats and bulls was what they used. And those things could not really make the conscience clean. But this man, Jesus Christ, once he entered into the holy place, not with the blood of goats, not with the blood of bulls, but with his own blood. And by the sacrifice of himself, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified. Hallelujah! He doesn't need to do it again and again and again and again. Well, we're going to get more into the priesthood of Christ in a little bit. But I want to introduce also this new lineage of priests that Christ, this new generation. There is a new generation of priests that God now has. In the olden days, God wanted them, he wanted actually the people of Israel to be his kingdom of priests. In the book of Exodus, chapter 19, we see in verses 5 and 6, if you would turn with me to Exodus, chapter 19, and verses 5 and 6, we will see how God invited them, and he told them, "Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and if you will keep my covenant, then ye shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine." Amen. And then in the next verse, verse 6, it says, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." Now, these are the words which thou shalt speak unto children. This is what God commanded Moses and so forth. So this was what God wanted. He wanted a kingdom of priests. He wanted everybody to be priests. Hallelujah. That's right. You know, but, you know, well, the people didn't want any part of the Lord at all. You know, they didn't. Here's what they said to the Lord in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 18. "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking." You know, that's after the Lord, he appeared to Moses and gave him the commandments and so forth and all that. And then the people saw all this phenomenon. They saw the mountain, they saw the trumpet, they heard the quaking, they saw it and so forth. And they were afraid and they removed and stood afar off. Verse 19, Exodus 20. "And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But don't let God speak with us, lest we die. We don't want to hear the voice of God. It's too strong for us. He might kill us. Well, you go hear from God, and then you come tell us." Well, that's how they lost their position. The position that God wanted them to have, which was a kingdom of priests, they wouldn't do it. They didn't want the voice. This is how Moses became a prophet unto them. You know, God was not, you know, he could have, God wanted to bring all of them in and be communing directly to each one of them. You know, but they said, "Oh, we don't want to hear his voice. His voice is too strong for us. We may die," and so forth like that. Well, you know, so they removed far from God. They didn't want the glory of God. And they lost that opportunity. Well, among many things that we have lost down the line from Adam until now, this is one more significant area that God's chosen people lost. He wanted them to be a kingdom of priests, but they lost it, but they didn't want him to hear his voice. Well, I've got good news, folks. Amen. Amen. Jesus Christ of the tribe of Judah, we'll come to that later on. You know, he came and he changed all that. And they did away, God did away with that one. He said, well, you know, any covenant I will make with them, because they couldn't even retain, you know, that covenant. They couldn't live in it. So God dealt with that. He changed it around. And here's what he did. He actually brought forth a new generation. Hallelujah. And a new order of people. Ephesians chapter 2. And God would cause great things to happen for us through this lineage. But you have to pay attention, you know, to this message today so that you can understand part of what God is doing for us. Now, in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, let me just read to you one or two verses here. I will read verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had ordained that we should walk in them. Now, you say, well, what has that got to do with what we're saying? Well, I want to show you that there is a new creation in Christ. The new people of God are created in Christ. That's what this scripture says. We are his workmanship. God is crafting a new set of people, and he created them in this lineage of Christ. Hallelujah. Christ being the first was like the blueprint, and all the others coming on after him. Now, Christ is the high priest who has for us entered into the holy place, and we come in behind as subordinate priests under him. So let's see how we do that. Now, God, he brought this same scripture that we read in Exodus chapter 19, that he invited the Jews to be a kingdom of priests, but they wouldn't do it. Israel, I should say. He said in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, this is what God now declares unto every one of us in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9. Quoting that same scripture, but he now brings it around to us in this new generation, this order, this Melchizedek priesthood, which we will learn about in subsequent weeks. But Christ is the beginning of that new order. But ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. That means kingdom of priests. Royal means kingdom. You know, you are a royal priesthood and an holy nation, which is exactly what God said to them in Exodus 19. You will be a peculiar people unto me, he said. They would do it, but God turned around and put that on us, that we are his peculiar people, and that he has ordained us to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Can you say praise the Lord? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to do a comparison and a contrast between what the Levitical priesthood did. I don't have time to go into all the things and so forth, but I will just summarize it. And what this new priesthood, as we see here in 1 Peter 2, 9, will do. Now, this new priesthood is not about offering sacrifices for sin. Jesus did that already. How many of you can say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
We are not offering sacrifices for sin. That was in the Old Testament. You know, people are still carrying incense and all of these things and so on. Well, Jesus finished that. He did that already. This new priesthood is to offer praises and worship. God has called you to show forth this new priesthood. Read it again in 1 Peter 2, 9. The purpose of this new priesthood is to show forth the praises of him who has called you out of his darkness into his marvelous light. We are not supposed to be sacrificing for sin. Jesus took care of that already. But our purpose is to live a life of praise and a life of worship. Amen. Amen, folks. So let's take it a little further and see what happened in this contrast. Under the Old Testament, under that Levitical priesthood and so forth, which God eventually rejected, Let's see what happened to some of them. Even those who were called. They were actually called, you know, Aaron and his sons were called to be priests. And out of their, you know, out of their tribe will be the high priest and so on, you know. But even when they were called, or then they were potentially to be called, when it wasn't yet exactly their turn, when they overstepped their boundaries, there was swift judgment sometimes. You know, and, you know, it was that whole priesthood thing there was kind of murky, you know, at best. You know, and so God eventually, he did away with it. Now, let me tell you the story of Nadab and Abihu. Nadab and Abihu, some of you may know the story and some of you may not. If you don't know the story, you will know it today. Nadab and Abihu were sons of Aaron. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 10, and I will just read the first two verses of Leviticus, chapter 10. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, so we see they were sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer. Now, this is what priests do. And they put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. Well, you know, I mean, those are kind of things that priests did. But in this particular case, it wasn't their turn to do that. You know, and God didn't actually command them to do it. So we'll see some cases like these people that actually overstepped their boundaries. And it didn't end very well. You know, and then we're going to compare that to where we are right now. So this Nadab and Abihu, they did this thing which the Lord actually didn't command them. You know, if Aaron had done it, the Lord probably wouldn't have said anything because Aaron was the one that was in that position at that time. You know, now, but they were also his sons, of which lineage they could be, you know, the same thing that Aaron was. But let's read verse 2 of Leviticus 10. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now, that's a terrible place to be. You know, these people that aspired to do what the, you know, high priest would do and so forth, took incense and do all of these things, offer things. Well, actually, I don't have time to go into that, but you know, God didn't command them to do that. But be that as it may, the Lord brought swift judgment upon them in that case. Now, let's look at another man. Now, in the Old Testament, let me pause and say that, you know, God had, you know, three branches, you know, of institutions that God used to use, you know, to walk among the people. He had, of course, the monarchy, the king. Well, he was supposed to be the king. Amen. Amen, folks. God was supposed to be the king, you know. And but they rejected God and they wanted a king for themselves. Well, that's okay. So he gave them a king. But God also had the, you know, prophet that brought the word of the Lord, you know, especially in the times of affliction when people were afflicted, when they were going up against enemies that were bigger than themselves and they were afraid, the word of the Lord would come through the prophet. And especially when they went away from the Lord, the word of the Lord would come to the prophet either to bring judgment or correction or whatever and bring the statutes of the Lord, you know. And then God had the priests. So he had this threefold thing that he used. He had the kings, he had the prophets, he had the priests, you know, and he had the priests that did, the priests actually, they communicated and interacted with the people more on a daily basis than did the prophet or even the king. Because, I mean, if the priest, before they actually asked for a king, it was the priest, if they were sick, they would go to the priest would check it out, you know, and see if they could be considered clean, and the priest would do this, and if somebody had an oath, and he did this, and he did that, it was the priest that did all of these things. You know, so they had these arms, you know, of his divine ruling among the people. Kings, kingship, prophets, and priests. So we'll see that. That's important to keep in mind, because we'll come to that later on. But there was one king which they asked for. His name was Saul. They rejected the Lord and they wanted Saul. So Samuel was instructed, you know, and he anointed Saul and so forth. But that thing didn't end well. But let's see something that Saul, the king of Israel, did in 1 Samuel chapter 13. In 1 Samuel chapter 13, I will read from verse 8. Now, Samuel had told Saul, you know, hey, go over here and wait for me, you know, so many days and so forth, and I will come and so on. You know, so, you know, Saul was waiting for Samuel, and it looked as if Samuel would be late. So Saul decided to take matters into his hand. Let's see what he did. And Saul tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and all the people were scattered from him. So Saul said, bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Well, that seems like a good thing, you know, on face value. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of the offering of the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him and to salute him. And Samuel said unto him, what is this thing that thou hast done? And he began to say, well, because of this and so forth like that, you know. So, well, you know, that didn't end very well for Saul. He crossed the line. See? He went and took the office of the priest. Well, and the prophet, which was combined in the time of Samuel, basically, you know, and George, you know. And he went and sacrificed an offering to the Lord, which the Lord didn't send him. And that didn't end well for him at all. Of course, because he was king, well, you know, God didn't kill him right away. But here's what Samuel said to him. Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, thou hast done foolishly, and thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. You know, for now would the Lord have established thy kingdom, Israel, forever. But now, see, the kingdom shall not continue. Thy kingdom shall not continue, and the Lord shall, you know, has sought out for him a man that is after his own heart. And the Lord had commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord has commanded thee. Well, there are many things that Saul did, but this was one thing that he did that was a problem. He overstepped and crossed into that lineage of trying to offer sacrifice. I mean, was that actually trying to be a priest? Which he wasn't, you know, he was a king. Should have left that alone. You know, you read the rest of the story and you find out that he was, you know, he was told to, he should have left that alone. Anyway, why am I bringing these things up? I'm trying to show that, look, when they had all these priests and so forth like that in the priesthood and in the olden days, things didn't always go right when people overstepped their boundaries. We've seen Nadab and Abihu. We've seen Saul here. There are many other things that I can go into, but I don't have time. But I want to show you in the New Testament, under this new order that God brought in the lineage of Melchizedek, Christ coming in, a new order. You say, Melchizedek, I'm hearing about it. I don't know. Well, I will get into it, you know, in just a little bit. Maybe not today. Maybe in the next teaching in this series. But what did God say in this New Testament? Well, first of all, God said that we, all of us, he said, let us all come boldly to the throne of grace. Not, you know, you don't need no Samuel, you don't need no Moses, you don't need no Aaron, you don't need any of these things. Jesus has for us entered him. And you can come. And here's what he said. Here's the way the Lord put it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. Here's what the Lord said about all of us. He said, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of ourselves of anything. What is this thing we are talking about? It's not of us. It's God that put it on us. God imputed this to us. Amen. You know, but our sufficiency is of God. So we are sufficient. We can do these things. Now, verse 6 says, look, God has also made us able ministers of the New Testament. That's every one of you. Hallelujah. We are all ministers of the New Testament. You know, we are ministers of the Spirit, not of the letter, because the letter killed them in those days. But the Spirit of God, through Christ our Lord Jesus, brings life. Amen. Amen. Now, so God has given us the Spirit of God, and he's given us the grace to be ministers under this New Testament. Every one of us. Listen to what he says in the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. Now, this is for every one of us that is sitting here. You know, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. So John, you know, introduced, you know, himself as he was writing, was commanded to write to those churches. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And I might say, the chief high priest, or whatever you want to call it, of all the priests. Hallelujah. After the order of Melchizedek. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Verse 6. And has made us kings and priests. Hallelujah, folks. Now, this is the New Testament. This is different from the old, where it was just a select few. This is a kingdom of priests now. You all are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people unto the Lord. He has made us already. Not he will make us. He has already made us kings and priests unto our God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Can you say praise the Lord? Again. For by the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Revelation chapter 5. And I'll pick it up at verse 7. Now in this place, John saw a vision that he saw the book that was sealed and nobody could open. And he cried and so forth like that. And the angel said, don't worry about it. You know, the lion of the tribe of Judah prevailed to, you know, open the seals and so forth. So he came. And he looked around, turned around, and was looking for a lion, but he saw a bloody lamb. And here's what happened. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 7. And this lamb, he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book. Now, this was a book which nobody, for the sake of time, I didn't read all the chapter 5 of Revelation, but you can read it. It was a book which nobody, no prophet, no angel, no archangel, no high priest, nobody was found worthy to open the book, to even look upon it or to read it. But only one being stepped forth. And it was a shadowy figure, you know, and he, you know, they introduced him as the lion fierce. But when they really saw him, he was like a broken down lion, bloodied up. Hallelujah. For you and for me. And then he got up, you know, and he went and took the book, which nobody else could take that book. Folks, he went and he took that book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, everybody, hallelujah, the four beasts, the elders, everybody, they fell down. Woo! Praise God. And they worshiped the Lamb. And they had every one of them harps and golden vials. Inside those vials were the prayers of the saints and so on. And they sang a new song and said, thou art worthy, Lord, to take the book and to open the seals. For thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every tongue and people and nations and so forth. And verse 10. And thou hast made us unto God kings and priests. How many of you can say praise the Lord to that? And we shall reign on the earth. So this is the new lineage which God brings. It's not for a select few. It's for everybody that has come in under that blood of Jesus Christ. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Now, Jesus himself, he will give us a picture of where God began to cross his hands. Hallelujah. Now, you have to go and listen to the message on the website, the crossing of the hands, which you preached a year or so ago. But God will cross his hands concerning this Levitical priesthood. And here is how he did it. He began to cross the hands. He began to prophesy this even in David. See, remember Christ, even the scribes called him the son of David. Christ himself said, I am the root, which means he was before David, and the offspring of David, which means he came after. You know, but, you know, God began to prophesy this. When he rejected Saul, he crossed his hands right there. He rejected Saul and said, you know, you're done with. Because you crossed the line, tried to do something which you, a priest, you couldn't do. But I'm going to give it, I'm going to give your kingdom to a man who is after my heart. Amen. How many of you know who that man was? His name was David. Now, and Jesus began to show how God crossed his hands over there, you know, and took it from Saul, put it on David. And what? How did he do it? Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 12. How did Jesus reveal it? It's in Matthew chapter 12. We're going to have to re-pick. There's many versions of this story, you know, in the Bible, but I'm just going to read this one in Matthew chapter 12 today. And you've heard this before, and many of you have read this. Well, it was on a Sabbath day, and because Jesus did something, you know, he went through the corn, you know, with his disciples. They picked, they were eating, and so forth. And all the Sanhedrin and the Pharisees and all the religious leaders of his day, you know, they accused him, you know, that, you know, you and your disciples, you are doing something that's not lawful to do on the Sabbath days. So Jesus was going to bring this thing. And this is very significant to our series here on the priesthood. So that's why I'm going to read this story. I don't have time to get deeply into it today, but it will be an introduction. Now listen to this. So when they challenged Jesus about that, he said in verse 3 of Matthew 12, have you not read what David did when he was an hungry? That means when he was hungry. And they that were with him. Well, if you read that account in Mark, he would say, you know, Mark chapter 2, he would say, you know, in the days of Abiathar the priest, how he went to the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat. Now, David, he crossed the line here, but he wasn't exactly crossing the line. David crossed into the veil. Hallelujah. That's right. The other people crossed the line. But David, you know, God prophesied this thing in David, and he crossed into the veil. David, he went and took that which was not lawful for him to eat, but for the priest. He went there and said, I'm hungry. Do you have something? Abiathar the priest said, well, I don't got nothing here except this showbread, and it's only for the, it's a hallowed bread. It's only for the priest. Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, other people that we've read that try to do something that priests should be doing, even those who were even sons of Aaron, God slew them. But this man, David, hallelujah. Because he knew how to show forth the praises of him who has called him out of darkness into light. This man representing a new line of priests, a new line of priests, even this David. God predicted it, how he crossed into the veil. And he went and said, give me that bread. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I tell you, God would have struck down anybody else. He said, give me that bread. And not only did he take the bread, he not only ate it, but he gave it to all of the people that were with him. Hallelujah. Now, this was bread that was sanctified only for priests. But Jesus for telling and for showing us what will come even in Christ. Amen. Or, you know, and Jesus said he gave it to the priests and so forth. And the Lord said, look, verse 7, if you had only known, oh my. We cannot preach or teach on a subject like this without coming right back to the mercy seat. And I'm going to be getting to that a little later on when we get into you know, some of the chapters there in chapter 9 of Hebrews and so forth. But Jesus said, look, if you would only know what this means, that I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. And not sacrifice. I wouldn't take the sacrifice of Nadab and Abihu and all of these things and so forth. But I will have mercy on David. Praise the Lord. That's right. And I will have mercy on the people of Christ that come after the order of Melchizedek. Those priests, they can now go in just like David did. You know, not just Christ. Hallelujah. David was like Christ. You see, David, he took and gave to everybody. Now Christ has taken and given to everybody. Amen. And not just that carnal bread, he gave of himself. I am that bread of life. Not the ones which your fathers ate, not even the ones which the priests ate. But I am that bread that came down from heaven, that a man may eat and live forevermore. You're going to have to read that in John chapter 6. How many of you can give the Lord a hand clap for that? Praise the Lord. So in this new lineage, Christ, he opened the veil for us. How did he do it? Well, David was prophesying it, and Christ was speaking about it already. But when he hung upon the cross, in the book of Matthew chapter 27, when Christ was hanging upon the cross, let's pick it up in Matthew 27, we pick it up at verse 50. When Christ was hanging upon the cross, many strange things happened that day. Here is Matthew 27 and verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, he yielded up the ghost. Verse 51. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. Now, this is the veil that kept everybody else out. Hallelujah. When Christ hung upon that cross, when he gave up that ghost, that veil broke right down the middle. He opened it up and he made a way for everybody. Not just some select few folks. We are done with that. Now it's everybody, whosoever will. That is the best, that is the greatest word in the Bible. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I am Alpha and Omega. And behold, I make all things new. And I have made a new and living way into the holy place for you. Give the Lord a hand clap. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the veil was rent from top to bottom. And the earthquake and the rocks rent. And folks, something incredible even happened after that. Not only did the veil tear open so that, look, no, you're not held back anymore by all these religious systems and so forth like that. You can now go in. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. But beyond that, the graves were opened. Hallelujah. When Christ died, even the dead could not stay dead. Praise ye the Lord. In Matthew 7 and 27 and 52, the graves were opened. And many bodies of the saints which slept arose. Right there on that day. Oh, not later. Right there on that day. But they stayed right there. They stayed on guard. Amen. Yeah. They didn't come out. They just arose. But they stayed on guard. Just like that. Hallelujah. And then the next thing you know, and they came out of the graves after his resurrection. Oh, yes. You say that's in the scripture? Why, absolutely. They came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. These were saints that were already there. Because Christ, he went and took captivity captive. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, the story, the portion of this story that concerns our teaching today is the renting of the veil. Now, the coming out of the graves of the bodies of the saints that slept, that's a story for another day. But the renting of the veil, showing us that this new priesthood that God has established is open unto all. It is not just for a select few anymore. It's not even just for Aaron and his son. Even his sons were even condemned when they tried to do something which wasn't yet for them to do and which God didn't actually ask for, you know, and so on. So, you know, but today, by the grace of God, everyone, and Jesus said himself, the hour is coming and now is, that everyone that shall hear the voice of the Son of Man shall live. Amen. Oh, yes. And if you hear his voice, and even those that have been in the graves, when they hear his voice, they shall come out of the graves. But now is the hour that everyone that hears his voice shall live. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Finally, back to where we started. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. And this is our memory verse for today, if you are taking notes. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come, knowing that the veil has been rent. Knowing now that the way into the holiest has been opened for all. You don't need a pastor to help you get in there. You don't need a preacher to help you get in there. Pastors and preachers and so forth are to point you to the Lamb. Hallelujah. That's right. And they are also supposed to tell you, to inspire you, to provoke you unto good works, and to ask you and to challenge you to press in. Press in, therefore, like Jesus said. He said, enter ye into the straight gate, through the straight gate. Press therein and so forth. You know, but don't go in through the wide gate and so forth that leads to destruction. But go in this way, because that's where there is life. So let us now come boldly. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Let us now come boldly to the throne of grace. Amen. That we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I want to invite you folks. You may be in the house today, and perhaps you have not taken this bold step of faith. You have not taken, you know, and I throw out this challenge unto you today. If you take this challenge, you will live, saith the Lord. Amen? Amen. That's right. I invite you today, come as you are. Praise the Lord. Take the step of faith and come to the throne of grace and enter in. Hallelujah. Enter in. And those of you who are still on the water's edge, especially you young folks that are in the house today, you're looking in because you see your parents, they, you know, they pray, they speak in tongues, they do all these things and so they go to church, they drag you and so forth. But you are on the water's edge. You're just looking in and so forth. Come on in, folks. Come on in, you young people. Don't stand on the water's edge. This is for you as well. Hallelujah. Everyone that will take it, let him come freely and take of the water of life. Amen. Amen. There are times in services like this when we like to give people an opportunity to take that bold step. And if that's you today, and even if you have experienced this portion of grace, but most of the time, you know, you are just, you know, the and so forth. You know, sometimes you are there, sometimes you are not there, and so forth. You're going in and out, and so on. You know, God wants to establish you in the Holy of Holies. You don't need to go in and come out, for in His presence is fullness of joy. Hallelujah. So if you are here this morning, I want to invite you. Make a bold declaration and say, I want to enter Him. Hallelujah. I want to enter in to the throne of grace. I want to come boldly. If that's you here this morning, I want you to take a step of faith and come forward and I will pray with you. You say, I want to believe God. And I know that I am called. Hallelujah. Called to receive this grace and called to believe the Lord. If that's you here this morning, come on over. You young people, don't be looking around. If you have not taken this challenge of laying hold on eternal life, you come on down today. Because now is the day of salvation. And today is that day. And God didn't promise any other day but today. Now, so, I will pray with you in a minute. I'm going to give you another chance. Just as you are. Come. Don't let anything else hold you back. Just as I am without one plea. But that thy blood was shed for me. And that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I come. And I want to say this to every one of us here this morning. When we had our review session this morning, some of you said, I'm still working on this and so on, and I'm doing this and the Lord's helping me and all that, you know, and everything that God is asking and demanding of us, like self-control and like we shall be holy like He is holy, at the end of the day the Lord is going to ask every one of us that has struggled with things, and if you let that thing overcome you, your biggest issue with the Lord is going to be, why did you not trust me for that thing? And why did you not trust my grace for that thing? That's going to be your biggest challenge, folks. So sing with me this morning. And I'll still give people a chance. As you sing this song, if you want to come on up, never mind. Don't worry about anything else. Just come on down and commit your life unto the hands of the Lord today as you enter into the throne of grace.
Just as I am without one plea, but thy blood was shed for me, and thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Father, Lord, we come. We thank you, Lord, because the scripture has said the Lord has entered in for us one time with his own blood. And now he invites us. Now he has made himself, he has made an appearance before God for every one of us. And we come now, Lord, just as we are. We bring our burdens, Lord, to the cross. And we come to the throne of grace. Come that you might find grace to help in a time of need. Come that you might obtain mercy. For those that have come this morning, Lord, the Lord be merciful to your transgressions. And the Lord give you a change of heart. The Lord write his laws in your heart by the Spirit of God. And the Lord make you to inherit that priesthood with the kingdom of priests. That you might become a real worshiper. And one that will offer and show the praises of him that has called you from darkness unto his marvelous light. Father, we give you the praise and give you the glory. And everybody said here this morning, everybody says, praise the Lord. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen.